Yes, yes, y'all. Welcome back to another episode of the Cliff Notes Podcast. This is a special collaboration episode with Cliff Notes and the Fire Lifestyle brand, Fitness is a Habit. Hey, yo, man, before we get into it, though, I got to just remind y'all, coming up this August, the 20th, Sunday the 20th, it's the 7-year anniversary of Mic Check PDX 7. It's going down August 20th at the Mission Theater. It's an all-ages event, man. It's going to be a dope, dope night. Tickets are available right now. You can get them at djcliff.com. It's also celebrating the 50th anniversary of hip-hop. It's the kickoff of Portland Hip Hop Week. So pull up, man. Come through. It's a dope, dope event. Like I said, all ages tickets are available right now. Don't wait to get them at the door. Cop them ticks, man. More information about that to come. Also, if you're in the Portland metro area, every fourth Thursday, it goes down live at McMenamin's White Eagle Saloon. No requests. Me and the homie DJ Ambush, we just go in, man. We play like 3 hours of golden era hip hop. It's not a party. It's a vibe. So pull up, man. Nothing but a good time, man. All right, let's get into this, man. Like I said, special episode, collaborative episode of Cliff Notes and the Fitness is a Habit Fire Lifestyle brand, man. This is a conversation that I really am excited for you to check out. It's one that I wanted to have for a minute with an individual who's an inspiration, man. She's doing things that are really changing people's lives, man, impacting the community in a very, very real way. It's the homie Kayla Jury. Whole human community. You know what I mean? You're going to dig this one. I'm telling you. Trust me. Kayla Jury in this episode, the Cliff Notes Podcast. Support for the Cliff Notes Podcast comes from Acapella Apparel, an idea born from a love of hip hop, funk, and soul music and its surrounding cultures. With fashion being a huge visual part of the cultures, they've created expressive images to pay homage, invoke nostalgia, and showcase the elements that make up the lifestyle and cultures of these genres. Acapella, apparel for the music lifestyle. For more information, check out acapella.com. That's acapella.com. Yes, yes, y'all. Welcome back to another episode of the Cliff Notes Podcast. Available everywhere you get your podcasts. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora. It's like everywhere except Tidal. And I'm still working on that, man. This is a special episode of the Cliff Notes Podcast. Every once in a while, I have an opportunity to share content with both of my audiences. Or a couple of my audiences. And so this is another one where we're going to do a cross-pollination situation. So if you are listening to this on the Fitness is a Habit podcast, and you know that it's just another aspect of what I do with DJ Cliff Productions and the whole nine, man. This is an interview that, it's funny, when I was thinking about it, I talked about doing like years ago. And, you know, now here we are, and I have an opportunity to chop it up with somebody who I am a fan of in terms of the work that's being done for like for communities, man, work that's impacting the planet in a really big way. And like she's kind of the homie too, so it's really dope to have her on here. So I'm bringing her up right now, the homie here live on the Cliff Notes Podcast / the Fitness is a Habit Podcast, Kayla Jury. What's good?
Hi. I'm so excited to be here with you today. This is so much fun.
Dude. Like I said, it's been a long time coming, and it's really been cool to watch, to just watch your journey and what you've done and sort of where you are now and just the impact. One of the big things I'm excited to talk about is just the impact that you've seen from what you've done thus far. But before we get into all of that, let's just go back, man. So, I met you, I don't even know, man, like
a long time ago.
Yeah, like several years ago, probably 5-6 years ago.
I was going to say, yeah, at least 5.
Yeah. I connected with your, I was about to say better half, your other half.
I consider him my better half, so that's fine. That's fine. I'm good with that.
Jay Jury came through and did an interview for the Cliff Notes podcast. And you came through and hung out, and we had an opportunity to talk a little bit, and you were sharing with me then some of the stuff that you were doing, and I was like, yo, I should do an interview with you. So now here we are all these years later.
It is really amazing to think about, like, when we think about that long ago, that was when Whole Human was very first starting and when I was beginning my business. So yeah, when you're kind of talking about growing the impact from then to now, I haven't really thought about that specific chunk of time before, but that's really fun.
Yeah. So, you know, I guess just with that, looking back now on what you thought about doing and then where you are, and we're going to dive a little bit deeper into it, but does it feel like this is what you anticipated doing? Does it feel like this is what you envisioned it would be?
I love that question. I don't think anybody's actually asked me that before. Well, it actually
Kayla,
doesn't.
Kayla, you on Cliff Notes, man. You know what I mean? Anybody can ask you this guy.
It actually doesn't. I would say that it's better. So I think when I first started building Whole Human, it was going to be focused a lot on performance and the physical body a lot, but with mindset added into it. And it has shifted so much to truly be super just whole life encompassing for all of my students and all of my clients who come through. And so it's, to me, that's so much rewarding, so much more rewarding. It's so much better to be able to like really dive into people's brains and not only affect their body, their health, their performance, but also like my students come to me and they're like, oh, because of what we do together, I have better communication with my partner, or I was brave enough and had the confidence to go get this new promotion or this new job. And, you know, I have single women who are buying homes and they're like, just have courage and confidence. And they're applying what we do to so many other places. So it's way better than I imagined it would be.
That's what's up, man. All right. So for people who are tapping in and we're talking about this really amazing product that you've built, for people who don't know, what is Whole Human?
So Whole Human is honestly the place where anybody can come and get coaching and support to reach any goal that they want to reach in their lives. So I am an expert educator. So I was a teacher, curriculum developer, and now become a master coach. And I've been able to put those things together to teach you how to basically coach yourself. And that's the cool thing about Whole Human is a lot of people come in very health-centered. That's how it all really started. But they leave because it's not a diet. It's a way to coach yourself. It's a way to create the life that you want that fits all the things that you love and takes you on the path where you want to go. And then it's sustainable and it's the last coach you'll ever need because you end up being able to do it on your own and keep it forever. So it's really, really fun.
No doubt. So how did you go from, being who you are and what you've done for your journey into then coaching others?
I love in general just, just experience, right, for myself. And so when I was teaching before, I taught for a decade before I started my own business. And so with that and with all of the skills that I was learning through that, my degrees that I got through that, all of my extra certifications I got through that, and my experience in just positive behavior change with students and then teachers. I taught at Oregon State at the collegiate level and then was also training teachers through the district, through the state, actually. And so I was able to really figure out through that how to dive into people's brains and find what motivates them and help them evaluate themselves and help them be motivated to make choices in what I call positive momentum. Because when we're excited about something or we think positive thoughts about something, it's so much easier to roll out of bed and keep doing that thing. And so to help people build that is something that I'd really experienced. And in teaching as well, the curriculum that I developed that is, to my knowledge, still used in some areas in the Portland metro area and down in Salem, was a science curriculum that also built life skills. So I basically, through that, was able to say, okay, yeah, we have a science lesson where we're going to, you know, kids are going to build a house and then we're going to have a flood come through and they're going to have to rebuild the house, you know, and to practice all of those things. But through that, they learned so many different things, perseverance and resiliency and critical thinking and being a critical consumer of the world and their thoughts and the things and the choices that they're making around them. And so through teaching, I kind of learned how to have a sort of conduit of the thing that motivates. Like, no student is going to be like, yeah, life skills lesson day. They're like, no, we're building a house day, right? So just like my students who come in now that are adults, they're not coming in saying, really, kind of what I described to you is, you know, I help people edit their patterns. They're not like, help me edit my patterns. They're like, help me run a marathon or help me lose 20 pounds. And that's the conduit to teaching them how to coach themselves. And so how it kind of started in health was I'm just into fitness in general. And I've done so much, which I do think makes me rather unique as a coach in the industry. So I was a runner, a big runner. You know this.
Yes.
I've run 12 marathons. I can't even count the other distance races, relays, things like that. I loved it. And I was very self-studied in it. Then when I met John, he was an athlete, or Jay Jury, as you introduced him and how everybody but me calls him. But then after that, when I met him, he was like, running's my punishment because he was a basketball player. So he taught me how to lift weights. And I can't do anything at just like the relaxed, calm level. So I was like, is there more you could do with this? Can you compete with this? So then I started competitive bodybuilding. Then I decided I didn't like that so much. Well, I liked it, but there were parts about it that I was like, this isn't perfect and fitting for my life. So then I went into and started doing the elite heats for Spartan racing, which I felt like was a blend. And so I just am always trying to do something. And as my own fitness journey kind of went through that, everybody's like, what is she doing? Like, can she teach me how to do it? And so I just kind of, even while I was still teaching formally, people would ask me for advice and I'd be making people plans or doing, I don't know, just different like one-off things for different people. And eventually my friends were like, you should get paid to do this. And that's kind of how the whole coaching thing was born.
That's so dope. You know, and you always consider how you see things through your lens. And so when we met, and then just through the world of social media, I had an opportunity to sort of watch that. And then actually happened to be at an event that you were at, a running event, that I did not do the same distance that you did. So I was done way earlier than you were, just because my distance was so much shorter. But at any rate, sort of watching that, you sort of think, yeah, with everything that you share, everything that you put out there, I would assume what you just described, people saw that and tapped in and was like, yo, I want to do that. Because that's a part of what I do, right? You see people who are doing things and achieving things and having successes that you want to achieve. And so you reach out to them and you say, yo, like, mm-hmm. how do I do that? The transition, though, from seeing the things that worked for you and that you were successful at, and understanding how to get there and building out that plan, then to offer it to someone else and say, okay, yeah, this is the plan, this is how it works. And then having to transition and navigate to, oh, but that may not, like, it doesn't, whatever the case may be, mindset or motivation or mm-hmm. or just successes. Was that challenging at all?
I don't want to sound like just that I'm over proud or confident in myself, but it wasn't. And the reason this is, I think normally, yes, it would, but my education background made it not challenging. Because when all, like, for instance, my curriculums were inquiry-based, so they're all about me asking questions first to find out where people are. And I think that's what's really different for a lot of other coaches and health and fitness, just like trainers and stuff in the industry, is they just say, here's a plan, take it, follow it. And that would be like, oh, this is what worked for me, or here, take it, follow it. And I don't do that at all. Yeah. I ask you questions and I give options. And and all of my students have buy-in too. So I'm just like, well, what do you think you will like? Here are three different possibilities. And then we go and we try them on. And then we come back and we call and we reflect on it. And we say, I liked part of it, I didn't like this part. And I'm like, okay, then let's fix the part you didn't like. And then we end up with a solid plan, because it is truly 100% all based on what they like. Because otherwise, I just say all the time, what's the point? What's the point of just doing a bunch of stuff that is not fun, that you don't enjoy?
Yeah. It's one of the things that I did that you do is you have a way to what you just expressed really, really comes across, that it is a conversation. It's not I'm the person who knows everything and just do what mm-hmm. I say. I mean, it truly comes across as not like we're in this together. And I love the mm-hmm. fact that you call it the whole human community, because it comes across as just that, as community, people building mm-hmm. into one another. And those successes, I can imagine, come from that. So in terms of successes thus far on the journey, what are you surprised about in terms of how things have evolved, how things have developed, or a success that makes you go, wow, like, that's really, really cool. I didn't see that happening.
I think the things that I love the most that feel like so much success is anytime anybody says, this is exactly what I need. And then they come in and they're like, oh, wow, wait, yes, this is exactly what I need. That feeling to be able to provide for somebody, like you said, community, thinking about their mindset, really, truly caring about them as a person versus just a number of like how many calories you're eating today or whatever their goal could be, mm-hmm. how much weight you're pushing this week, right? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, how they're working towards other goals. Like, there's a big difference in me being able to sit and have a one-on-one conversation with my students. And I've coached my students through so much heavy stuff. Even just this year, one of my students' partners was diagnosed with cancer. One of my students was in a very intense car accident. Another one was in a car accident that put her in a concussion where she couldn't even like go to work for a while, right? I've coached through losses and things like that. And that's the kind of stuff and that relationship building that I don't know if it's a surprise, but it's never lost on me mm-hmm. that I get the opportunity to help walk people through tough things in life and still feel good in their body and their mind mm-hmm. that I help and I teach them and show them and guide them and support them through. Like, a lot of times when tough stuff like that happens, I mean, we've all kind of experienced that where, you know, then you're like, okay, well, I'm eating like 6 tubs of Ben & Jerry's and just crying on my couch, right? I show them how we can feel and like, I can feel sad, I can struggle. And so I think the way that Whole Human has developed to have that depth is not lost. I mean, I appreciate that. And I thank my students every single time, every time they share, because I am thankful and I do feel so honored to be able to be like in their brain and part of their life. So yeah. I would say that that's it.
That's so dope, man. In terms of the Fitness is a Habit lifestyle brand that I came up with, for me, it was figuring out something that I could tap into as almost a journaling situation for myself, but then also a way to share that with other people to hopefully be an influence on others. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And for me, Fitness is a Habit is, it's a number of things. It's physical fitness, it's mental fitness, and then it's my spiritual walk, it's my spiritual journey. And folk who listen to this may or may not know that like my 9-to-5 is physical therapy. And so that's like healthcare is like, that's my primary profession. And so thinking about what you just described and really helping people reach whatever their goals are is something that resonates with me. But also having a place where people feel comfortable tapping in because they can see, oh, mm-hmm. you're actually on the journey. You're showing me your struggles. You're showing me the obstacles that you are overcoming. You're showing me that like there is no such thing as perfection. And I bring that up because mm-hmm. one of the things that I really dig is that you are very transparent. You are very open. You are very like, nah, this is who I am. Like, really, the whole body, the whole thing. Is that just a part of who you are? Was that something that you thought about, hey, if I'm going to do this, I want to make sure that I put that out there? Is that challenging to do at all for you?
I am so thankful that you said that because I feel so like, oh, good. That is how it comes across. Mm-hmm. I do want to be that person. And it's funny, I was just talking to another student this week about, do I need to show more failures? Like, I think I need to tell everybody about how I failed in the past because I don't want people to feel alone that, you know, we all learn from failures and it's all part of life. And so I do strive to show what it's really like. And I just want to be genuine because I think I love social media in the way that, like, you just meet the coolest people. I just met somebody. I don't even know where she lives. I think she lives in, like, Kentucky, but I was able to ask her questions about like whiskey and all sorts of things that I don't know anything about. Yeah. And I'm like, this is so cool. I just randomly found you. And here we are being friends online. So social media is very cool, but it can also be a very hard place. And a lot of my students see that too, where it's like, okay, well, look at everybody in their perfect lives. How come I'm not like that? Mm-hmm. And so I really just strive for reality. And I think when we talk about community, and you kind of already said this, is you have to be comfortable in order to like enter it and to be vulnerable. And I want my students, and I want the people in my audience, I consider everybody part of the community. If you follow me on Instagram, you're part of the community. You don't have to be a paid like student of mine to be part of the community. Yeah. And I want everybody to be able to feel like they can be open, that they can share with me in my DMs, that they can talk to me, and that they're willing and ready. And the only way to do that, I think, is to model it.
Yeah.
And kind of show it.
No doubt. Let's talk about the podcast. Let's talk about your podcast.
As I sat down here, I was just like, oh, I'm so familiar with using a microphone now. And it's so fun to, after doing my own podcast for so long, which I've fallen in love with it in a way I never thought I would. Mm-hmm. But it's so fun to be on somebody else's podcast. So that's really cool.
I listened through a number of episodes, and of course I had to tap in with the episode that you had John on that I really, 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 really dug. And it made me think about an episode of the Fitness is a Habit podcast that I did with Merlene. And it was interesting because you asked him, like, was he nervous? You had some questions for him, and I don't want to give it all away. I want people to go listen to it, but you didn't give him any sort of, hey, this is, you know, this is what we're going to talk about, this, that, and the third. And I remember doing that with Merlene, my wife, and she was super nervous, right? And then afterwards, she was like, okay, wait, I want to do it again, but this time I want to, you know, she had all of these plans. Mm-hmm. As you are delving into doing the podcast and doing these episodes, have you had that moment of, oh man, I put an episode out and now I've got all these new ideas and these new concepts and these new, man, I wish I would have done it this way. And then having the platform to actually do that.
So that's so funny because actually, yes, just this morning I was like, oh, there was one sentence. I recorded two episodes yesterday. There was one sentence. I was like, oh, I meant to say that one like sentence that I feel like could be important. Mm-hmm. And then I did a very vulnerable episode about myself. So it was a Q&A. I opened up my Instagram and said, whatever questions you have about me, I'm going to do a Q&A podcast. And I got a ton of questions, and I kind of split them into health and fitness and goal setting questions. And then there were three questions that were about me, but one of them was super heavy. And it was, how has your childhood made you stronger? Or because the person who asked the question had said, I know that you've shared a few times that your childhood was a struggle. How has that made you stronger? Or how have you not let it define you? Mm-hmm. And so after recording that episode, all I could think about the whole time was like, should I have said this? Should I have said that? Should I have said this? Do I need like some sort of like disclaimer you know, just as like that big vulnerability hangover. And I was like, it was already 45 minutes long. And if I'm talking about my life, like I'm 35 years old, you can't squeeze that into 45 minutes. It's fine, Kayla. It's fine.
Right.
It's fine.
Right.
But I love doing that. And that episode with John was so special. So special. And to ask him those hot seat questions and him answer. And I was just like, oh, I just felt so much love from him also. Because for those who haven't heard it yet, the episode is on supporting your partner and how do you support your partner with your goals and things. And so it was just really, really nice.
No doubt.
Liked it.
So, you know, it's one of the things that I've always thought was really cool. And again, for me, it goes back to when we met. Like, we met because I was doing an interview with Jay, and you came through. And then on another occasion, he came to the radio station to do an interview, and you came through. And at the Cliff Notes Live, you came through. At the album release, you were there. And so I say all that to say it's always been, I've always appreciated how much you have been in support of everything that I've seen him do that I've been blessed to be a part of. And then to listen to that episode and hear you guys talk about that, that he reciprocates that as you're on this journey, on as you're building your business, as you're making changes in the community. I mean, that's so special. So big ups to you for putting it out there that way, to let folk know that you don't have to, whatever you're doing, you don't have to do it alone. You can be in partnership with one another and support one another and not be in competition with one another. So, you know, just thank you for putting that out there.
Oh yeah, of course. And I think one of the things that that was really great about that episode specifically and just about supporting our partners is I think people, again, this kind of goes back to what people see on social media, is they just see a relationship and assume that it just comes so easy and so naturally. But in that episode, we were like, no, we literally sit down, look at the calendar and say, okay, when can you do music and when can I do this? Yeah. And I'm going to plan this not around like a music heavy thing for you. Like we are really thoughtful about making that happen. And I think people kind of forget that there is some quote unquote like work or thoughtfulness involved. And I think it does come natural to John and I to care about each other, but like the world is busy. We're busy people. So we really have to be thoughtful about it. And I think that's something that a lot of people overlook or can overlook.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
But another thing about community that you kind of said, having a supportive partner is so important. And I think there are a lot of people who maybe don't know how to communicate their support that they want to have, but feel alone in a lot of their goals that they have. And that's another thing, as you've kind of spoken about community this whole time with Whole Human, that I love so much. So I guess thinking about what is also a surprise is I love when I log in on like a Monday, we have a community Slack channel. And no matter if somebody's a private coaching client or if somebody's in my course or if somebody's in my group program, which are my three offers right now, everybody's in the same channel. And they are just like dropping recipes or asking questions or talking to each other. It's my favorite thing when they're all just like cheering each other on, or somebody was like, hey, like, I feel like I drank too much yesterday. I don't know what to do, you know, right? And everybody's just dropping their ideas and their thoughts and their encouragement. And it's a really beautiful space and a really beautiful thing to be able to walk into a program and have that. Just this week, we had a group call this last Wednesday, and one of my students was talking about how she wants to start being an early morning riser. She wants to start waking up. And two of the other students on the call wake up crazy ass time in the morning. Like one of them wakes up at 3:30 and the other one wakes up at 4:30. And so I was like, well, I know two people that can help you. And so they started an accountability like thread in our Slack channel. And I was just like, that's so cool. And they all live completely far away from each other. And they would never be able to do that if they didn't have this community, because they're not near each other. And because her friends that are close to her don't wake up early. So she doesn't have that kind of group. So social media, internet is freaking cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So as you're building this, have you taken time to look at just that situation and recognize what you have done? And what I mean by that is I think sometimes when we're in it and we're doing things, we're just thinking about this. I'm doing this because I love it. I'm doing this because I'm passionate about it. But then sometimes Kayla, I got a couple years on you. I've been on the planet a little bit longer. So I just have that perspective of being able to look back and not realizing the paths that you've created, the opportunities that you've created, and celebrate that. Not that you're, blowing your own horn, not that you're whatever, but sometimes those things can be encouraging when you need that encouragement, or just to celebrate that, like, what you're doing is making a huge difference on the planet.
I love to celebrate. I love to celebrate every single day. Do I maybe celebrate my accomplishments enough? Maybe not. Or maybe like, or even specifically think of, it's a little bit hard. And okay, I have like six thoughts on this, but it's a little bit hard to, like you said, blow your own horn or whatever. For a lot of people, it's difficult. And it's harder to do that without kind of someone like you saying that, right? And so when someone else acknowledges it, I'm just like, oh yeah, this is pretty cool. Like, this is pretty amazing. But without that, I'd just be like, oh, I'm so happy this is happening. But I don't necessarily say or realize I'm so happy it's happening because of me mm-hmm. or because I've created this space. Like I literally just said, the internet's amazing. Right. Not I created a space on the internet for these people to meet each other and right. introduce them.
Right.
And so I will say that. And my secondary thought that came with that, and this is just a total tangent, but a lot of people feel like external motivation and validation is not a good thing, but it absolutely is. Because if you think about this moment right here, that external validation helps me see even deeper the what whole human is. And without that, it is important. I think so many people think they have to be intrinsically motivated only by them own selves. I'm like, no. If you are getting a compliment from somebody else who tells you you're beautiful, take it, right. run with it, love it, write it down on a piece of paper and save it. Like that totally counts too. And so thank you for saying that. That does give me some extra celebration that I could have today.
I talked about the podcast, but let people know how do they find the podcast? How do they listen? How do they tap in?
Ooh, this is new for me to say things like this because usually I just link it on my Instagram, mm-hmm. but it's just the Whole Human Podcast. I believe you could search that on Apple and or Spotify. Unlike you, I think those are the only two things that I'm on. If I'm somewhere else, I don't know about it.
Okay, we're gonna work on that.
But they're automatically.
We're going to get them out there. We're going to get them out there for sure. And listening to the podcast, one of the things that I appreciate is you give your listeners, you give us content, you give us information, and then you give us something to work on, like tangibly, mm-hmm. like literally, this is your homework. Where does that idea come from? And then I want to tell you why I appreciate that.
It comes from what's so important is, especially now, we consume. And knowledge, and I love consuming. I love reading. You can't see it, but on this whole side is my library, just full of books. I love to read. I love to learn. If I could have been a lifelong student, I absolutely would. But we gain skill and gain strategy by applying what we learn. And so often we consume without application. And then it doesn't necessarily become as beneficial as it could be. And I try to, and you can tell me, I would love your feedback on this, but I try to make the application piece something very simple that you can do in one day or immediately to break the barrier of like, oh, well, I don't have 48 minutes to do that today. I'm like, nope, like 38 seconds, let's get it done and help grow your mind and move your mind in that way. So that's why, because application is just so important. What are your thoughts, though?
You know, I agree. And that is how it comes across. It's tied directly into the content that you share. And I love that you do it that way because it's literally fresh in your mind. And mm-hmm. it does come in very what feels to be very doable pieces. And then the next thing to me that comes from that is, you know, I did that thing. Okay, now what's next? Right. And I want to tap back into the podcast to say, okay, now, you know, what is she going to ask me to do next time? Which I really, really love. From a content creator standpoint, one of the things that I really love about it is that it really gives your audience purposeful engagement. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So anybody who creates content, you put the content out there, and depending on what it is, sometimes you're not quite sure, like, are people tapping in? Is it resonating with folk? Are they? No, you're actually giving us, no, like, this is engagement. This is not, I'm not preaching to you. We're having, we're having a give and take. We're having, it's communication. It's back and forth. And I really love that. And I think that you doing that the way that you've done it, it's really dope.
I love that. I think what's really interesting is moving into owning my own business and having to be a content creator, I was like, I am not a content creator. That was my very first like big thing. I was like, I don't do that. And so often I just have to say, okay, Kayla, take it all back to what you are an expert at. And I'm like, I am an expert teacher. Like I am so good at educating. I'm an expert educator. So how, if there were 27 people in my classroom, how would I do this? And so that's how I just try to kind of reframe everything. And that's what makes it feel doable and makes me feel confident in anything that I put out ever is I'm like, just go back to where you do feel confident. Because there were times, and I'm also a good student in the way that I've had multiple different business coaches. And if they tell me to try something, I will go try it. I will try it on. I will experience it. And then I will be like, that does not fit me. And I will take it off and I will put it away. So I will say in growing Whole Human in the first, I mean, I guess now, yeah, it's been years and years. Mm-hmm. But in the beginning, I was just trying so many different things that I didn't feel, I don't know what the right word is, maybe aligned mm-hmm. with how it was coming out. I felt like I was always genuine. I felt like I was always me, mm-hmm. but I was just trying on so many different strategies and going back to, okay, here's your homework and mm-hmm. here's your application, and just riffing on the whole education and teacher thing. Like my program's called Whole University.
Mm-hmm. Which is so dope. Just, like y'all got to see the way it's written out. It's just so clever.
Oh yeah. Y-O-U University. And that's, I just realized, stay in your strength. Stay in like what you're great at, and everything else just, it flows so much easier. So whenever I feel like I'm having a content struggle, I go back and say, okay, if you were making a mini lesson right now for your students, that's why I even call my clients my students, because mm-hmm. it's just so much more helpful. Mm-hmm. How would this go? What would this be like? What do they need to hear? Put it out there.
Wow, that's so dope. Mm-hmm. Do you feel, so now this is a question from someone else who creates content, right? Mm-hmm. Do you feel challenged? I don't want to say it that way. How do you stay consistent? Like I'm asking this question and I have my knowing you, knowing what you've done, knowing what you've achieved, I have my thought of what the answer would be, but how do you stay consistent? Creating content on a regular basis, putting it out there on a regular basis.
I feel like consistent feels subjective. Mm-hmm. Even though it's not really a subjective term, mm-hmm. Just because there are some times where I'm like, okay, is consistency 7 feed posts plus a podcast a week plus 2 emails? So that's about what I'm doing right now is 5 Instagram feed posts. I'm on my story every single day. I do a podcast a week and I send 2 emails a week. So when I say that, that's actually kind of a lot.
Yes, it but is. I will say,
in order to build that consistency, I started way smaller than that, like just Instagram, and then got used to doing more Instagram. So I actually, this is for my students, one of the big things about creating consistency is I call the system the next nudge system, where you start small and you build on top of it. So once you get really good at one thing, then you go up the next level, up the next level. And so that's kind of what I've done, where I started with Instagram, getting used to writing the posts, speaking on my story, then adding in being able to do 1 email a week, then adding in doing 2 emails a week, then adding in the podcast was definitely like my latest addition. And so I would say small, adding over time. But I will also tell you, I am so type A. My calendar's right there. It's completely color coded. And I have automations everywhere where if I put like a to-do list on, I use ClickUp. I don't know if it's like a Monday or a Trello or an Asana. It's like an online planner. Mm-hmm. And it's, if I put something in there, like record podcast, click finish, it'll give me 3 more tasks to like, go write the show notes, go write an email for it. And so it just automates and tells me what to do after I've built it out.
Yeah.
So helpful. So I would say my type A planning and then the little next nudge system.
Okay. That's really, really cool. I love how, I just love the way that you communicate with us, those who tap into to what you do. As I think about just the life journey, I love when you say, hey, yo, plan to do this. And if you have a situation where you feel like, oh, I didn't do it, or oh, I did something I didn't want to do, okay, you did it. Now keep it pushing, but maybe take a moment to ask yourself, okay, why did I make that choice? What brought me in that? And it comes across as like, bro, it ain't that serious, which can decrease stress. It can decrease a sense of like beating up on yourself that gets you to go down this, you know, mm-hmm. this negative path. And then I also love the fact that you say that you know, if you could be a lifelong student, I personally believe we can all, we should have that desire to be lifelong learners, right? Whether it's formal education or whether it's tapping into podcasts, whether it's getting a life coach, however, whatever works for us in that moment of time. Mm-hmm. I feel like, yeah, we should all desire to never think we got it all figured out and be okay with not knowing everything. Be okay with not achieving the goal that we set out today. Mm-hmm. But know that there's down the road, we can still get there.
Oh, curiosity is my favorite thing. Mm. If we ever think we know everything, then we're just not being curious enough. Yeah. The world is so big. The universe is huge. But I do want to pop back to that first thing that you said, because I think that's one of my very favorite revelations for all of my students, in that there is this disaster chaos spiral that happens when, like, you eat the piece of cake you weren't planning to eat, or right. you miss the workout that because you just didn't feel like going, and then you just beat yourself up. And because you're beating yourself up, then you eat a second piece of cake. And then because you're beating yourself up, you don't go to the gym again for the rest of the week. And then you have to, quote unquote, start all over. And that's one of the biggest revelations that I would say 99.98% of all of my students come in and have, is the conversation around that, where it isn't a big deal, but not even that. That's not how I start to say it, because people feel like it is a big deal, right? And so they're like, but it is a big deal. I didn't want to eat that cake. That feels like a big deal to me. And I say, this is the thing though. Life is never 100%. It's impossible for life, when you look at the span, like maybe a day can be 100%, but if you have a week, a month, it's not 100%, because so much of life is not under our control, right? So right now, the tree that's outside could fall through this house, and then like, right, then maybe I can't go to the gym because a tree fell through my house.
Right.
That's okay. And so what we plan for is that all the time, we're just striving for 80%. And then we plan for 20%. So then what ends up happening is we're striving all the time for our best. And when the 20% happens, because we know it's part of the plan, there's absolutely no guilt. They're like, oh yeah, well, I took last Saturday off, but I felt fine because I was supposed to have a 20%. So that's fine. Mm-hmm. And it's just a different reframe of saying, I know this is going to happen. I am planning for it to happen. It is part of the plan. And that releases so much of that stress that you were talking about. Mm-hmm. Is people plan for 100% all the time. And it just doesn't even make sense. And it's not even necessary. Mm-hmm. It's really not.
Yeah.
Like, we all need a break from everything.
100%. 100%. Mm-hmm. The oftentimes the access that people get to us is, maybe not the access, the awareness that people have is whatever avenue they tap into, right? So, mm-hmm. you know, for me, it might be people hear me on the radio, or it might be people know of the podcast or see a live event. So that's how they tap in, right? For you, it might be people see that you are celebrating an event that you completed, a race or whatever the case may be, mm-hmm. and then they get to know about the whole human community, and they tap in that way, and that becomes who they, like, that's who you are, right? You're the fitness mm-hmm. person. You're the person who runs a lot. You're the person who lifts a lot. Mm-hmm. But then when they get in, now mind you, this is my perspective, right? But mm-hmm. then when they tap in, they realize, oh, it's not about the run. It's not about the race. It's so much bigger than that. And I love the fact that that exists for us, right? Because sometimes I think we as human beings, we focus on just that one thing that we see, and we don't realize everything that is involved in that mm-hmm. and the life lessons, right? So for me, from a fitness standpoint, when I started running several years ago, and you mentioned this on one of your episodes when you talked about doing marathons, the way that the work that goes into learning, for me, learning how to run, the way that impacted other aspects of my life, had no idea that that was going to happen. The mental toughness that it takes to just push one more mile or push one more block or whatever the case may mm-hmm. be. You know what I mean?
Just to the lamppost.
100%, right? Let me just get right there. And I feel like that speaks to kind of what you were talking about, right? The nudge. Mm-hmm. As you have people coming into the community now, have you seen people have that aha moment? Have you seen people have the, oh, it's not about what I thought it was about. It's so much bigger than that.
Yes, but it seems less of an aha and more of a development over time. So I'm trying to pinpoint, and I think that the first thing that a lot of people, how to phrase this? People come in all the time in any program, like so excited to just be like, hit the ground running. And they're like, yeah, that lamppost, I'm going to go to 85 lampposts, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, okay, let's just try the lamppost and then take a break and see what happens. And then people are like, oh, okay. And at first I think sometimes people come in and they're like, oh, well, that was easy. And I'm like, yes, that is what you're missing, is you think it's supposed to be hard. and it's not. And that's when they're like, oh, that's right. It's supposed to be easy and enjoyable. So I want to keep doing it. I forgot. I'm supposed to like my life. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's kind of how that aha kind of comes about. And I like one of my students used this quote. And when she said this, I was floored the way she said it. She was like, you know what I realized? Like, this is all easy, like breathing. And I was just like, yes, because it's just being alive, you know, listening to your body and giving your body what it needs. I strive for all of my students to get that way. But what's hard is when they see it, they don't see it as a positive. A lot of times they'll come to me and say, am I doing enough? Am I doing enough? And I said, you're yes. And actually, you are at exactly the right point where I want you to be, because all of the things that you have made have become a habit. Mm-hmm. And so you don't even notice you're doing them. You're doing all the things just by like walking around. Like, it's just as easy as the rest of your life. And so that's kind of how that realization comes. And then I have to help them through it, because like, I'm not doing enough. It's not hard. I'm like, perfect. Yes. I love that. Here's why that's amazing. Do you want your whole life to be hard? No. Great. Here we are.
No doubt.
You have won.
No doubt. So we are, I don't even know if I turned the microphones on yet, but we were just talking about where we are right now this time of year. We're recording this in May of 2023, and we are hitting beautiful weather in the Northwest. And yes. You know, it's one of the things that like people who are in my family or my community who don't live here, and they think about the Northwest, they think about Portland, man, doesn't it just rain all the time there? And I always tell people, yo, it really helps me appreciate the sunshine. So this time of year is my favorite time of year, when you get to see the flowers blooming and the sun is out on a more regular basis.
Oh, yes.
The other thing that we're seeing is we now, coming out of some craziness, man, we have the opportunity to build together now in person. We can gather together and we can do things together. And that's one of the other things that you've done in terms of creating community, is you've created opportunities for folk to come together. As we are moving further into warmer weather, what do you have planned?
Oh, that's so exciting. I love in-person stuff so much. And I actually have gotten kind of some pushback, because a lot of the coaching world is online. And a lot of my clients are all around. Like, I have my first client from Australia. And so that's really, really cool.
So international.
So she obviously can't come to join us, but I still have a large base here. And like I said, anybody who follows my Instagram is part of the community, so they get to come. And so I have, like you said, started doing workshops in person, which is a lot of fun. Coming up in person, though, I'm trying something really new and really fun, and maybe this will be where I spill the beans, I guess, for the future plans of this. Mm-hmm. But I have met, again, thanks to the interwebs, another coach who's a confidence coach, but she lives in Nebraska. And so I'm actually flying out to Nebraska in a couple of months to help her throw a big event. I'll start announcing and stuff on my Instagram soon, but I'm really excited about that, to work with her and to build that together, because it can be lonely to be a business owner, right? I'm just like, it's me. And then I do have a small team, but they're also not local. And so we're going to do that together. At the end of every year, I started last year for the first year, because for obvious reasons, but we have a big graduation celebration. So it's whole university. And so at the end of every year, we'll have an in-person graduation celebration. And last year was small and small. There was like 30 some odd people there. But this year, I want to blow that out of the water and make it really special and highlight all of my students and all of the things that they've been doing. So that's coming up too. So those are the two things that I have left. Oh, I'm sorry. And then I'm also doing a workshop this weekend. Actually, I've partnered with Orange Theory, and I'm doing a balance workshop for them. And I'm going to be doing one in June as well with Therapedia. So I'm not sure if you know who they are, but.
That's so dope, man. Yeah. All right. So people are listening to this and they're like, man, this is amazing. I wasn't aware of this community. I wasn't aware of Coach K and the things that she does. And it's really resonates with me, or this is what I've been looking for. How do people tap in?
The best place I love is Instagram, because you can slide right into my DMs and we can start chatting. Because again, just like Cliff has been saying, I want to hear from everybody. I love when people share with me, talk to me, and it helps me help you more if that is something that you're interested in. So Instagram, I'm at It's Kayla Jury, J-U-R-Y. And that's probably the best place. I have also the podcast would be a great place to start. And listen and get a vibe, if this isn't enough, of who I am and how I teach, kind of what you were hearing about with the homework. And then I do have a website, but you can go to that if you want. It's wholehumancommunity.com. But Instagram is the place where I hang out the most. So that's what I would say.
That's what's up, man. So as you are now, you know, celebrating the successes and helping others, helping us learn how to celebrate our successesses, if someone's like, okay, what's the one thing that I can start working on right now? What would that be?
That's hard because I don't know exactly who they are and the things they love and what their life is like and what their goals are. But I would say this, in general, the things that I see that help people, one of the big goals that people come to me for is they just want to feel more energetic in their life. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to guess a lot of listeners might have that feeling. They're like, yeah, I'd like to be able to get out of bed and do lots of things and be productive and enjoy the sunshine that's here. And so the things that help with that are drinking more water and getting daily movement in. So, and that's where the next nudge system happens. So what I want you to do is I'm speaking to listeners.
Nah, bro,
you.
I'm listening
to you.
Come on,
here's
nah.
your takeaway. Here's your action item. I want you to think about and look at how much water are you drinking. So for 3 days, track it. Just figure out what your number is. Maybe you're drinking 40 ounces a day. I want you to do the same thing with your steps. You can look at your phone. If you have a watch that tracks how many steps you're taking. I feel like with people who have jobs where they sit at their desk, 3,000 is not far off from what a lot of people take. I want you to add. If you're at 40 ounces, go for 60 ounces. That's your next nudge. If you're at 3,000, 4,000 steps, go for 4,000 or 5,000 steps. Add your next nudge. And then do that for a week before you go higher. Remember, one lamppost at a time. Then after that, once that becomes normalized, go all the way up. Try to get to 100 ounces and try to get to 7,500 steps. That's where I would say where to start. That's everybody's homework. But you have to start it. The part that you can't skip. So this is a big assignment. The part you can't skip is figuring out where you are now.
There it is, man. There it is. See, y'all get the free like introduction to, you know, to the whole community situation. Kayla, I once again, man, I can't express enough how much I appreciate what you're doing. Understand, knowing that you are creating opportunities for people to just do better, to just be better, which is what we can all do. There's always there's something that we can be better at, and you're creating a platform, an atmosphere, a community that we can do that. That's welcoming, that's encouraging, that's celebratory. And it's easy. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much for that and sharing that. Like I said, you're making me I'm going to go celebrate some extra. And thank you for having me here. This has been so much fun.
That's what's up, man. Like I said, it's been a long time coming, but now we are here. And this is not like a one-off situation. We fam, so this is just until the next conversation.
Yes, until the next one.
Yes, yes. All right, y'all. Check out Coach K. It's Kayla. Give me the Instagram one more time.
Yeah, it's Kayla Jury.
It's Kayla Jury on IG, man. Tap in and just, you know, and let's just build, man. Let's just build. Thank y'all so much for tapping into the Cliff Notes podcast once again, and the Fitness is a Habit podcast, available wherever you listen to your podcasts. Shout out to Acapella Apparel, the official sponsor for the Cliff Notes podcast. Check them out at akepele.com, especially this time of year. Dope merch, dope gear. Go get you a tee. Go get you some cool summer wear. Once again, it's Acapella Apparel, akepele.com. Big ups to all of the platforms that you can find the Cliff Notes podcast on. It's on the X-Ray FM podcast network, on the Numbers podcast network. That's the Numbers with a Z. And then just everywhere else you listen to podcasts. Fitness is a Habit as well. You can check me out at djcliff.com. And then last but never ever least, big ups to the homie, Theory Has It, for creating the official theme song to the Cliff Notes podcast. Actually, that was another question I was going to ask you. The theme for the podcast.
Oh, John absolutely did it. Absolutely. That was one of my just like happiest, most exciting moments, is that we were able to like super collaborate with the two things we love together in one. I love it. Yeah.
No doubt. Mm-hmm. And yeah, man. Y'all just be good. Get a little nudge. Enjoy the sunshine. Until next time, y'all be blessed. Peace.